Good afternoon, brothers. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to be with you. One of the things that I guess I wasn't expecting when I entered the Anabaptist world was the welcome that my wife and I have had. Some people are afraid that, you know, because we're so different that there will be tension, and we've experienced none of that. Yes, when misunderstanding sometimes, but I just wanted to say it's really been endearing to me. I'm going to ask for one more hymn. If you'd sing it, please. Not often do I get to be with a group of men and hear deep, manly voices. And there's a hymn that I've loved. When I was preparing to go into Sudan, I would practice hikes, and I would fill my backpack with Bibles and hike and do long marches on my own to get myself ready, because we did so much hiking. And I started singing this hymn. It sort of reminded me of maybe there's some bad lore to it, because it's called the Crusader Hymn. But it still exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. And so can we sing that? Fairest Lord Jesus? And I'd love to be up here to hear men sing that. Again, I don't know what number. 190? Let me get a copy too. I want to sing with, I want to be with you all.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature,
When I hear that hymn, I get the image, and especially hearing men like this, men like soldiers in subordination to the Lord Jesus Christ. In my military background, how beautiful it is. And even as Jesus, as was remarked earlier in the sessions here, lauded that soldier who said, I understand authority. And that's what we're about, is to be men under authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that authority, if you look in that hymn, they looked at the beauty of the day, Jesus better. The beauty of the night, better. The beauty of heaven, Jesus better. Is that our heart? The last session today, I'm going to give a bit of review, and then I'm going to go into a few of the topics I talked about that I would bring up, and then we'll have some time to interact after that. Again, this has been a very condensed time to get the information out, so I've covered a lot of main points. I didn't cover all main points, but I covered as much as I can to get the big picture out there, and hopefully today we can launch into application that we, when we get back home and size up our congregations at home, we can size up how to address this issue we have at hand so that we can stop the regress and start progress. So can I ask someone to pray for me as we begin? Amen. Before we begin, let's turn to an extremely well-known passage in Ephesians. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whereof take ye unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'll stop right there. But let's turn to Romans chapter 6. In my morning devotions, I was explaining to somebody about my devotions. Most critical part in my life, when my life is working well, is the hours between 4 and 6 in the morning. Those are my favorite time of the day. So I do my devotions, and I have a system that I've been using. Without getting into the system, it's a plan I've been using for really decades. It's to get through the Bible and quickly in over a year and continue doing that. But this year, I got stuck. I got stuck in Romans 6. I can't get out of Romans 6. Over and over, I can't get out of Romans 6. I'm stuck. It's like a wheel in a rut. I'm not going to go through Romans 6, but just to add to what we just went through, I just want to explain one interesting verse here. And it says, Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let not sin reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. I added 14 because my wife is repeating that every day. Just hit her, just repeating this verse, constantly repeating it. But I just want to take a note here, men. That verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments. That word instrument is weapon. It's weapon. And in earlier versions of the Bible, that was what is translated. And the Geneva Bible is translated as weapon. Weapons. We've died in Christ. Our flesh has a mortal wound. It's dying. It's as good as dead. You stab somebody, they go to the hospital and they live. Did you kill them? No. You stab that person, they go to the hospital, and they're lingering for 3 or 4 days. Did you kill them? And they die after the third day. Did you kill them? You did kill them. Your flesh has been killed at the cross. It's lingering in the hospital, sort of, but it's as good as dead. We don't submit. We don't listen to the dead body. We don't let it. And he says, don't yield your flesh as a weapon against him, a weapon of unrighteousness. But later on, there in, I'm sorry, it says it twice. Well, that's, it's the same thing, 13. I guess I read, it's twice anyways. But the point is, we're tempted. This flesh is tempting, and it's alive, in a sense, wanting to do things against us. We have to take this flesh and say, we have to say no to the flesh. No. Almost like being separate. Now, we're connected to it, but it's got a mortal wound, and it's dying. Good as dead. Why let this dead thing tell us what to do? And the second thing is, we're supposed to buffet it, almost like make it do something like a wild horse. Some of you have probably trained wild horses. You make it do what you want to do. It doesn't get to do what it wants to do anymore. So that's where we're in this. That's part of the battle we're in, men. And to be examples and to be buffeting our own flesh, not letting sin reign in our mortal bodies, in our lives, impacting us in our ministry, and then to help those that God has given us to work with. So that's what we're going to focus on today. Okay, we don't have a projector or the possibility. So I do have a lot of these slides, a lot of concepts. I have them graphically depicted, which I can't do that this time. I will draw a few of them, but there's much better than that. If you want, I can send them out or something to you. But I want to first, let's go and review what I went over the last 2 days as a foundation for now the applications of what we're going to go into. I will go a little bit of the bigger picture that we're in, too. I promised that earlier, the bigger picture of what we have. The first day, I was emphasizing the centrality of relationship, the utmost calling, in a sense, of what we have, that first and greatest commandment, the second one likened to it, relationship. And I then laid out the second portion of that is that media has a way of playing in our relationships, working on our relational tools and affecting them. And I'll review that in detail in a minute. Then, yesterday, I started off with the way that media consumption actually affects the mind, the way it actually informs the mind and populates the mind with information, much of it false information, which then the mind wants to draw on that information to interpret reality and act upon reality with faulty facts, faulty logic, faulty procedures. That's the second part. And then the third part, in the second half of yesterday, I went through how media experience, when you're experiencing media, you're going through experiences that affect the heart, affect the desires of the heart. Things that I found myself watching and enjoying so much that I was in this emotive, transported state, and then my values are subject to adjustment. I didn't really go through this. The bad part of it is, because of the content and so on, that it ticks your desires towards the lusts of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's the danger in there. Okay. So let me just read off a few of these points. Purpose and context of life is relationship. Wrap that in one. See if I'll jump quickly through. Okay. Media use falsely satisfies our relational needs and desires so that we can do without real human interaction. That's what's going on. People watching movies, being consumed in this, they're losing their desire or need for humans. You can be alone and ignore important relationships. I've discussed this with families, married men, identified this. Indicator. He doesn't talk to me, he doesn't want to be around me. Is that an indicator? Superstimulates relational tools to the point that the threshold for relational satisfaction is too high for a human to attain. Life is boring. People are boring. Church is boring. Then you've got a challenge. When your people are doing this to themselves, it's putting the weight on you because now you're the one that's boring. Not the fact that they have changed their appetite. Third point, exhausts relational capabilities to the point that human interaction is wearisome and a burden. It instills this entertainment value I spoke of, that I must be entertained and I must be entertaining. I mentioned that yesterday. Again, it restructures the mental processes. The patterns of operation of the mind are actually altered by this. It instills false cause and effect memories from which we draw from. Now, one of my illustrations, and I'm going to go quick, but illustrations that I use when I'm talking to non-Anabaptist people, audience, and or actually the people from the world like me who came in, they know this. But I ask this question. I go, what happens if I hit you on the head with a hammer? If I hit Raymond on the head with a hammer, what happens? Does a bump go up and stars go around it or birds? Who knows what I'm talking about? What am I talking about? Cartoons. Why? Because almost every cartoon out there has that in it. And then I ask the next question and go, so quickly, hands went up. When's the last time you watched that? 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, who knows? Still there, isn't it? That logical process is still in your mind. It's still there. It didn't go away, did it? It's there. And you can reach in and use it. Now you have a false cause and effect in your mind. Now, affecting other cause and effect things because they're all bundled together. The wiring goes all together and it bleeds off of each other. It affects each other. Your thoughts change. Even your memories change over time. It's amazing how your mind is. So instead of hammer to head is death or damage. No, hammer to the head is funny. You see, that's just a... Now, it's an extreme illustration. But media pumps people through, fills people with false cause and effect, especially with relationships, sex, fighting. And video games take it, again, a nuclear proportion higher. Okay. Causes people to want to be passive, receptive, and non-creative. Reading is an absolute creative activity. Watching video, completely passive. Alpha state, you actually go into a near sleep state when you're watching something. Reading, you're taking specks of ink, creating something you visualize. It's an amazing creative process. It conditions you to many things that the media puts out there. There are many conditioning agendas out there. By your consumption and experiencing it, not listening to the content, them telling you, you should believe this, they put all the stories out there so that you will be conditioned in a direction. One of the main ones is priming. I lack time to explain it in detail. In a nutshell, there's a movie out there that I cannot believe parents watch, let their children watch it. I cannot believe it. I saw it on an airplane. That's my excuse. It was an airplane. I picked out what it was about. Just real quick, the movie is called Shark Tales. It's a cartoon. Manly shark has a baby, has a son shark, doesn't want to eat meat. Goes through his life pretending he eats meat, but doesn't. Fighting his dad until finally he comes out of the closet and lets the world know that I won't eat meat. And the whole world embraces him and says, it's okay. What do you think? Huh? Set that brain path, that path is now in that mind. So when the real issue comes up, their mind has been primed. It was a good memory of this accepting bad behavior. You see? Priming. It's one of their terms. It's one of their, in their field, priming. How we can change people. How can we influence people? Being used out there. I wasn't listening. I was just letting the child be, there was a babysitter. Really? Later on, in that mind, it's there, just like the hammer. It's there. It's been primed. Your mind is primed to say, why judge things? Okay? That's just one. I said it conditions the heart. And I ended yesterday, or the day before. It enters people into false parasocial relationships. Parasocial relationship is where lots of people who watch an actor or significant person, and on their end, they feel like they know him. Because they've listened to him, they've watched him, they've listened to their music, whatever it is. Like I gave the illustration of Elvis Presley. This person doesn't know anything about them. That's this parasocial relationship. Interested into it, but the biggest part, the way I like to change the language, sometimes you've got to change the language to get the significance across. People are in relationships with false beings. False being. Okay, does that ring false being? Because you aren't there with him. It's a concocted thing. It's not a human. Looks like a human, but it's not a human. It's a screen or whatever it is. That's what it is. Okay. I think we need to... Oh, people of God. Oh, men of God. Do we give allowance to this? Now, I want to... discuss for a few moments here before we get to the application. a bigger picture view of this. I was trying to build some sort of a visual model for what's going on as I went and tried to figure out who who interfaces with us that has the biggest influence, right? So I'm looking not at the you know, powers out there, but who's influencing us? Who interacts with us? Now, it used to be that in the Anabaptist culture, take a Anabaptist culture. Let's just do that. The main thrust against was professional Christianity. I'm just going to call it professional Christianity. In tandem with the state, with the political state. Okay? Those two in tandem. Yes? Back in the beginning?
Yes.
The church, because you were contradicting what they were teaching and changing symbols and weren't their authority, and the state, because this was there was a joinder here and they were losing control. The baptism was where they registered. Oh, there was a lot of... So stop them, wipe them. Yes? Martyr's Mirror? Martyr's Mirror? I'm at page 800. I have a prayer for one of them. I recite a prayer for one of those blessed men. I recite it every couple of mornings. So that was the interface. But let's go forward and look at this. Now, I looked at this, and I do models where sort of almost engineering models, who's going, doing what, with what, and how. And so this is what I came up with. I came up with these four terms I'm going to use. And you could, in this situation, and I'm going to expand this more for you. We have agents, meaning someone that does something. Agents, they're the actor who causes something to happen. The agent. Player, different terms you can use for it. You have the agenda. Agenda, what they're making happen. And I say intentional or unintentional. They have this agenda. Intentional or unintentional thing that they're putting, this influence for things to happen. Third, agency. What are the tools, the process for actually causing this agenda to happen? What is it? And then finally, what are the drivers? What are the drivers that propel these agents to do this? What are they? So this is a bit of a model. I'm going to go very quickly. Oh, drivers. There you go. Drivers. Through you, for you to look at this. Okay? Now, this is not perfect, and it's not complete, but it's getting there. So I'm going to present this to you for thought. Of course, we still have this one of those first two influences, agent. And that's, I don't call it popular professional Christianity, although it is professional Christianity, it's more popular Christianity now. They've moved from the authoritative, we are the church, listen to us, to, hey, you know, don't you want to come? What can we do to get you to come in? So they are professional, they need the money, but it's more, let's go be like the culture to get them in type thing. And that's what I call pop Christianity. This is what your young people are are getting attracted to. Not all of them. I'm just meaning the ones that are. Don't take anything as an attack. Okay? Please, after I get back, I wonder, I said that. Do they take that as some sort of a slight? Please, don't. Okay? Trust me. I said something yesterday only because I'd heard other people say it when I said dumb Amish. That is, I don't mean that. Just I keep people saying, well, they call us a dumb Amish, so I use that term. Trust me, I don't. It's the wise Amish. To me, wisdom beyond what that world knows about. Okay? Okay? The second one, and that's the other one which was there, the political state. Still out there, not even near what it was doing before. Still out there, and you're still interfacing with them, and they're still doing things. But we have this other things that have popped up with modernity. We have this professional education system, which grew up and then became this state joined, mandated control, and it just goes across countries. It was, and we went through in the last, from in the 1950s on, I called the Sovietization of the school system. This is my view, from my readings, what I saw was going on. And that's the, when they pulled out, that when they began closing the local schools down like crazy and taking parents out of involvement, now that's, from my understanding, that's when the Amish said no more. The Amish used to be, you know, but I do, the Amish used to go to public school. Stop, no more. Bunch went to jail. 1972, we have a Supreme Court decision. It says, if they want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. Almost said that. It was sort of this slight, except, so you know better than I do, except I'm convinced we wouldn't have homeschooling if it hadn't been for that. The homeschoolers have the Amish to thank for that, because they were trying to stomp out homeschooling in the early 80s. I had friends, I know, they were Nebraska was sending them to jail, just like they were doing to the Amish. Okay, but it was a Supreme Court decision. What are you going to do? It's there. Then we have this next agent, and I call it the market economy. And it, with the massification of the economy, instead of the local specialist who did certain things, or they, because of communication and transportation and mass production, we have consolidation, and the state gets extremely interested in this, because it tax base and raising armies and all that, and has this enormous influence and interest in this growing like crazy. Wasn't much of an interest, the national economy. Not that big. But it's now a cultural force that you all deal with, this market economy. And then we have, finally, although it's been out there, it started consolidating and turning into a player, an agent, consolidated. We had first mass media. They were different. And separate from it was entertainment. But they have converged. They're separate, yeah, but they're sort of this converged and that now. So those are the agents. There, you can look at, there's a few others that are, I'm not going to get into, these are the ones we're going into now. And you're interfacing, all of you are interfacing with all these. And I have another diagram to explain this, but it's not just this influence that mass media and entertainment. What happened now, mass media, they all interface with each other, but mass media is by far, and entertainment, by far, the dominant force on all of these now. The dominant influence on all of these. So mass media and entertainment influence goes through surrogates. Surrogates into you. It's not no longer just this one. Turn it off. Cut it off. Nope. The influence comes all these different directions now. Okay. And you know in the workplace. You're dealing with this in the workplace. Because you have to act now. You have to set up your business to be able to fit in to this thing. Or you're left out. You have to now get your internet presence. You have to do things the way that this whole machine that we're in the midst of. And the danger is the influence that comes in. Okay. These off real quick. Start with the popular religion. Ubiquitous content, meaning all around. Ubiquitous means it's everywhere now. It's all over the place. Ubiquitous content via communication technology, moving toward. I'll hurt a lot of my friends' feelings in this one. Unified darkness, or practical disobedience to Scripture. Practical disobedience to Scripture. That's the path. Some things, yes, they're still obeying. Some things, yes, it sounds so good, loving Jesus. But practical disobedience in critical issues. Two critical ones, marriage and divorce and non-resistance. Critical. They're moving through the acceptance. Accept this. Redefining marriage. All that. See it. Let's go for political state. Exercising and injecting its sovereignty of force. Remember, they have sovereignty over all force. So it's injecting its sovereignty of force to instill adulation, dependence, and obedience. The government wants to be respected. They want you to. Government officials. I was in the government. I know. The military tends to not be as much as politicians. Politicians tend to have this issue of self-adulation. But dependence and obedience. The government wants you to be dependent on them. There's a great book. It's sort of dated now. I just forgot the name of it. But he does a great job. This is written in the 70s. Pointing to the fact that the state wants to be savior. Their existence depends upon it. They want to be savior. Okay? They want you to be dependent on them. Professional worldly education system. Instilling and conditioning the population to adhere to the above influences. That's the biggest thing that they're doing now is they're conditioning and enculturating. They give you education. And most of the education out there, most of it is not really helpful for your career. Most of it's not. That's the big... It's common for someone to go to school for 4 years, get out, can't get a job, and take a job that they didn't need an education for. That's common. The percentage of people living with their parents is just increasing because they get out of college, they spend all that time, they're in debt, and they have no ability to work. So they work for a while, then they figure out, maybe I'll go back to school and get something worthwhile. Okay? Now, I'm an educated man. And some of you go, well, what's this guy, an educated guy? What's he doing? What's he saying? I'll tell you, just parenthetically, I'm 60, I would easily trade all my education and all my career for a child. All of it. Easy for a child. Easy. What I got is not worth one child. Okay? So the path I was on, for whatever reason, left me where I am, and where I'm happy, we're married, we're just great, yeah, I'm happy. But at this age, maybe. Okay. And then this last one. What we've been talking about, the mass media firing off content, firing off worldviews, firing them, infusing them all over the place. And each one of them, they're so connected. The White House, always entertainers in the White House and here. And the movies they show, illustrations I have to go through. Okay, I agree to teach these classes. And some of the textbooks, every illustration of a concept is from a movie. Every one. So they're expecting that I don't know the movies. But they know the students use the movies, so they're just right in bed with it, you see. Okay. Agenda. Now I'm going to take one larger view of the agenda, because each one of them has their own little agenda, their own little influence. But this larger cumulative influence is what I'm looking at, that you're under. And it's not hard. Anti-Christian. Allowance for anything but Christianity is what's going on out there. Increasing. Even things that are going to ultimately be their demise. Advocating Islam, supporting homosexuality. Those two are the homosexual community not really bothered with Islam coming in. They execute, they throw homosexuals off buildings. Okay. An anti-Christian in devotion and discipline. In devotion and discipline. What you're supposed to love and how you shape your lives. This is what Epicurean. Epicurean means live for now, for pleasure now. Just live for the day. Happy now. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's Epicurean. Unfortunately, it's not what Epicurus wanted, but it's what the name is. Eroticist worldview. World culture. Eroticists. They are pushing erotic world culture. Sexuality. I talked with some of the Anabaptist techies. We need to have our own internet. Something. Because the eroticist view is just fired. Anytime you turn on the internet, it's firing in there. It's actually not as bad as it was when the internet first started, but it's still there. I think that's one of my people. I thought I turned it off. I can't get it to go off. In a Epicurean, eroticist, worldly culture of mediatized kingdom of the world, darkness. Mediatized. You know, it's sort of interesting. That's sort of a new word now. It's just starting to pop up among those that are going, what's going on? And it's sort of along the lines of hypnotized. Mediatized, hypnotized. That it puts you into a whole different mindset. And you take on a whole, almost, I don't want to say zombie-ish nature, but you have, everything now is coming all your values coming out of media, the way you look at the world. Trans thought. Okay, there's two words that are interesting to me. Trans thought. In Greek, repentance. Repentance in Greek is trans thought. Meta, I don't know if it was a Greek person here. I forgot. That's transform is change your form. Repent is change your mind. Metanoia. Yeah. We think it's only turn around because we hear that all the time. No, it's change your thinking. Change your thinking and then change your outward. Start with your thinking and then change your form, and they should align together. Basically, messages about entertainment value, sexuality, reproduction, violence, honesty, property, individualism. There's just a whole slew of the content. And I haven't been getting into the content, but it's just packed in all this. The agency. What is the agency? Communication technology. That's what we've been talking about. Misuse of relational tools and senses. Second part. A mediated alternate reality. A mediated alternate reality where you, because of you living in this, the people living in this media world, whether it's in a complete transported state or it's just that they always want to be on it, always want to be in Facebook, always want to be texting, and my relationships are through all that media, it's an alternate reality that they live in. And to get them away from true cause and effect, live to this alternate in a what I call an ecological social environment. Ecological meaning people interacting with each other and things grow in a certain way, because now we're all on Facebook. Certain new nature comes out of the way people treat each other because of this new medium that we're all involved in. It grows into something else. Mediated relationships, I've mentioned a lot of this, parasocial, false beings, but mediated relationships with real people. Getting away from the proximal connection to having a mediated relationship. By the way, the number on texting and emails, 25% of the information gets through, 75% is guessed. That's why we have so many problems with it. And that's why the whole emojis, the little smiley faces, all that. That's an attempt to sort of try to tell you, I don't want you to get mad. Because the little information gets across. Inputting media logic. Now, it's a term in the area of studies, the logic. That really means like the nature. So when you're using the media, when you are using a certain type of media, whether it's print or video or oral or phone, you act according to the nature of that media. And it, in turn, influences you to be more like that. Okay? There's a great book about this. It's an old book. I recommend this book. It's by Neil Postman. Anybody? Amusing Ourselves to Death. Okay? But he goes through the mental transformation of Americans from the print culture, logical, factual, detailed explanations, to this impressionistic age that we've moved to. And that was written in 84. That's that age. There's a secondary follow-on to it by one of his students called Amazing Ourselves to Death. Because he goes up and carries it up through the internet, and he's basically saying he was so right, but he only scratched the surface of where we've gone now. Instilling false memories, which I talked about, but there's another thing I didn't touch on yet: a false heritage, and in my own life, very interesting for our family, when I stepped into my military uniform for a minute, we had an unbelievable heritage, my family. But we go back to the War of 1812. We have things that you wouldn't believe. I told you wouldn't believe it, but they're out there. They're in this heritage that we have. And my father was sort of old school military guy. When we were growing up, we sat every night at the table with candles. We had 7 children in our family. We sat there, and my dad would tell us the stories of the family. And he would tell us this. This, because this is what his parents did. And he would recount back 150 years, sometimes way back. He could tell us our heritage back to the Greeks. Our name is Greek, Argo. It's great. He could tell us that. He would tell us that. We'd listen. And he told us stories of his time, of my time with my mother in Germany. They were a marriage. And he told all this unbelievable history. But what one thing happened, though, when I was about 9 years old, we got this big thing in the house. We got that thing in the house. He bought it for us. And they put it there. And when that was on, when we knew about that, we could care less about my father telling us those stories because they were completely irrelevant and boring compared to Flipper. You know Flipper? And the television shows of we didn't care at all. Then, okay, sort of sad story. When my father passed, my mother passed first, then my father passed, we opened the footlockers in the basement. He was a hoarder type that era. Thousands and thousands of pictures that he took and developed himself. Thousands and thousands. Hundreds of them. He with my mother running around post-World War II Germany through the rubble. And we know nothing about it. We don't know what it is. Because we didn't want to know. But, I'm sorry, I'm off on a tangent, but this is a sort of a fun story. I've spoken at military Christian events. Okay? I know you... What? Okay. About this topic. And a couple times I did this. I asked this question. I did this. I knew there were a bunch of West Point grads in the audience. And so I did. I go, okay, we're going to do a quiz. You can't shout out the answer. You have to write it down. And I said, okay, who were the three girls on Gilligan's Island? That's a TV show, really popular TV show back in our growing up. And who was the sergeant in this show? And who was this person? And what were the names of these people? And they were sitting, and they were having so much fun. They were just, oh, couldn't wait till the test was over. And they were doing this. And then I go, who wrote Jesus Loves Me? And I go, who are the only two non-military people buried at West Point Cemetery? Boom! And other questions like that. And the reason I asked that is because there were two ladies from wealth who lost their wealth. Their father lost everything they had in the 1800s, 1840s. Their last piece of property was an island across the river from West Point. And they moved there. Anna and Sue Warner, and they spent 40 years teaching cadets the gospel. That's what they did, Sunday school. It was the beginning of the Sunday school era, and the cadets would go there, they would walk across the river in the winter, row their boats across the river in the summer, and they buried those two women at West Point Cemetery. They gave a parade. They had a parade when the second one died. They had a huge parade for these women. So impactful. One wrote Jesus Loves Me. The other one wrote the most read book of the 1800s, The Wide, Wide World. Now, don't you think that would be interesting to be part of your heritage? Even your Christian heritage. You don't know, they didn't know, never heard of it. Now, I just use as a... The lesson, the point I'm bringing up, though, on that, is that mass media now has displaced, pushed out true heritage. Americans do not know where they came from. They do not know their history. They don't know any prominent people, maybe just a few. They don't know what how America came into being. They know nothing. But they know all of the entertainers who didn't exist. They know all these stories that were made up. They know all that. So it had it displaced. And now we, America, we're fracturing like crazy. We have nothing that unifies us. If you don't know where you came from, you don't know who you are. And you don't know where you're going. You have no continuum. A strength of the Anabaptists, a strength has been this martyr's mirror. A strength. And you should be in it. And your children should see you watching it, reading it, not listening to it, reading it, family reading it, and pointing out, this is where we came from. This is why we're here. These men and these women and these 12-year-olds getting cut up, chopped up for the gospel. We're here. That they are our, they're our relatives, our spiritual relatives. That's right. Our progenitors. That's who we are. Drop that. Let it go. Media is doing this very well. And contorting and changing the history. You know, they asked Disney. This education organization, I guess. Disney, you know, those documentaries you're doing are completely fallacious. You're just making it up. They said, we don't care. We're making money. We don't care. We're here to make money, not history. So they're contorting. Even the history they get is upside down. It's contorted and changed to be entertaining. So that's what's going on. That's what you're up against. Now, I'm sorry, let me move a little bit faster here. Last point. Of the agency that we're dealing with. Mediatizing oral visual impressionism. Not print-oriented, cognitive, logical, factual, informing. No, just impression. They have a way of doing a scene or a picture or music, whatever it is, to impress the flesh. The flesh likes that. That looks good to me. All that. That's what they're using instead of engaging the mind. I don't have time, but there's a... You can look it up on your own. The elaboration likelihood model. Elaboration likelihood model. I have a diagram. I can go through it. I use this. I teach this a lot. Basically, in a nutshell, two paths. Central path, logical, factual, authority. Who's saying this to me? All that. The peripheral route is emotive. It's feeling based. Do I like the person telling me? Are they good looking? Oh, that's all you can think of. First thing you think of is politicians. And you look at that. This is being canceled out. America now. Not only is it used on them, but you become like the media you use. Media changes you. Okay. The drivers, I can go through it. You know, money, power, sex, fame. Enemy. Enemy is one of their drivers. What is that? No law. No law. We want a people with no law, no borders, no nothing. No police, no nothing. This is part of the driver. And in this, an unconscious idolatry that they don't even know about. That they're actually connected to a great degree under the prince of this world, the power of this world. They don't know it though. Now, I could actually have many more drivers here. Sedition is one of their favorite things. Sedition, throw off authority. They love throw off media production all the time about individualism and throwing off. And that's getting in. Now, the issue is that Anabaptists can't avoid interface with these. You can't avoid it now. So you've got to be extremely aware of it, and you have to be countering it. Countering it. I have a model that I drew up. I'd like to develop it further, but it's the model basically is you've got, you know, these communication models. You've got when communication happens, one agent has an agency or whatever technique, he has this agenda coming over to this receiver, but another agent. It used to be you could block it. Can't block it now. You have to filter it. You have to interpret it. You have to, when it comes in, you have to, I know what that is. I got it. I know what they're trying to do to us. I see it. They're priming us. What are they doing to us in this? The part we're not good at is the response back. We have to move back to responding. I'll be able to get into that today. Okay, next. Okay, I've already gone through. I have a synopsis of that. I have drawings here. Let's go to. So, what do we do? It's part of my slides, but I. What time is that? 3:45? Okay. Do we ignore it? Fingers in the ears, eyes over the eye, hands over the eyes. We're going to be in our little community. No, because this thing is just coming in closer and closer. You ignore it, you're going to succumb to it. You're going to fall to it. I don't want to be derogatory or negative, but when I get asked to go speak at a church, I don't know who they are. They can tell me they're a certain word of this type of church. It doesn't mean anything to me yet. I don't know. I don't have that. I don't have the Mennonite gene in me that can recreate family trees, you know, in a heartbeat. Say one name, and all of a sudden, I see a person. Hey, you are related to someone. I can't do that yet. Can't do that. It's a Anabaptist thing. Believe me. I love it. By the way, I love the Mennonite game. I love it because it shows connection, importance of. We ignore. But my point is, I go to churches, I show up, I go, wow. And I, what's your policy on this? We don't know yet. We don't really have a policy on it. Open door. We don't have a policy. We don't have any structure. We don't know. Our people are doing it. And I go, I know. I can see it. I can see the effects. Join it. Do we join it? Let's become them. Yeah, there's that movement to come in. Someone asked me to address this, a point. Let me touch on this point. Do we use the world's agency? Meaning, do we go ahead and let's make movies? Why can't we? You know, enter into the arena with them. Well, in order to do that, you have to become them. First of all, you're then just becoming like the agents. You jumped ahead. It's almost like for years in the ministry, both as a youth leader and then in church leadership, just decrying what goes on with youth leaders. They sort of have this strange attitude or approach to be like the world in order to win people out of the world. Do you know what I'm talking about? Be in the world, be like the world, act like the world, so you can win these people out. No, doesn't work. Be careful when your youth group takes that attitude. Because no, you go in the world to win them out, and what happens? You become the world. And your youth group becomes the world. And she saw this. I wish my wife was here to confirm this stuff. What lovely raised children, homeschooled, into the youth group. Because the youth group leader is this dude. I can't go into my memories, I guess, of seeing precious, precious, sweet little girls who now are tattooed to here. They're low cut, but they're tattooed to here, and you know the tattoos go beyond what you should see. Because the leaders had this approach. No, we've got to be different. When you get the... You have to be able to answer this. We want to be more relevant. There's a strange path in this. Let's become more relevant. And once we've become more relevant, guess what? You're not relevant. You're irrelevant. You now don't stand for anything. I got in there and I'm with them. Wow. Got it. Now we can do our thing. What? Well, you're not relevant anymore. You're not different. You're just like them. Beware. And the youth work. Strong, strong temptation among youth leaders to do this. No. What do we do? Drift. Drift. It'll all work out in the end. Yeah, it'll all work in the end. It will. Just like God will bring the increase. After I plant, after I plow and plant and water, God will bring the increase. Drifting downstream, or struggle upstream. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take ye on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, to stand, not get knocked down, swept away. What do we do then? What are our agents? What's our response? What are the agents? What's our agency? What's our agenda? Do we have one? Some of you know my about this. This topic. Sorry, you get to hear it twice, I guess, or three times. I'm a military guy, military trained. Studied war a lot. Now, the fun thing about my military training is because I didn't like it. They were always sending me back to school. I didn't like it. So the way to make it interesting to me is I always look for parallels to Christianity in my military studies. When they did that, I go, wow, how is this sort of like Christianity? And there is one that I'm going to present to you. And there's a man We were studying a man named von Clausewitz, and he's in military doctrine and so on. He's like the great guy who really, first of all, wrote a deep book about war. It's called On War. And in this, we discovered this principle from him. I can't give you the page number. It's in there somewhere. But he makes this interesting statement. The strongest form of warfare is defense, in which you always lose. Do you hear that? The strongest form of warfare is defense, in which you always lose. Get on the defense? You know it. You know what I'm saying. Get your defense, and then what happens? What? What does he do? What does the enemy do? They go around it. I set my defense up because I've decided where the weapons are going to be. I set my booby traps and my mines, and I'm going to make them all come right into my kill zone, as we call it. Oh, I got them. Well, they're going to send someone way out ahead and go, we're not going that path. It's too dangerous. They're going to probe and probe and probe. Find your weakest and get in. In this case, Trojan horse. But the best form of, you all know this one, the best form of offense, the best form of defense, what?
Offense.
So that's my question. In looking at this, I know it's a complex, maybe I'm getting too complex. Too complex? Do you see this? You got it? What we're up against? What about us? Can we look at that for a second? I'll go quick. Our agents. Relational. And I have these, I'm sorry, I actually have these in parallel to the agents that are against us. You can't show it now. Graphically, I could show it another time. But I actually looked, what's their agent? What's our agent? And so I went through this in a scattered way. But actually, I have it one for one here. Our agent. Relational, orderly, godly community. Relational, orderly, godly community. Another agent. Leadership. Pastorate. Teachers, evangelists, fathers, writers. Who are the leaders? That's the agents who are going to be. We've got to look at this. We can't be squeezed smaller and conformed. No, we're not. No, we're breaking out of the castle. Breaking out of the walls. Let's go. Bible orthodoxy and kingdom Anabaptist thought taught and practiced in Christ's body. That is an agent. That is an agent right there. That itself. In the people. Principled communitarianism within his body. Now that means communitarianism. It's a big word meaning interdependent community. Interacting, working, helping each other. Practiced kingdom of God rule of Christ, the head, throughout the body, meaning headship. Clearly understanding authority. Man, we've got, it's there for us. We know, we practice it, we understand it. That headship covering. When I'm working with the young people evangelism, and I try to get them, when someone asks you about that head covering, don't let the word heritage come out of your mouth. Don't let the word tradition come out of your mouth. See, it represents the headship of Christ. That's what it's a symbol of. Amen? Am I wrong? There's an opportunity. non-conformed home and community schooling. See, I go around the block. What's the agenda? The agenda. Detach from mediated alternatives to organic reality. Detach from mediated alternatives. We're getting fed mediated alternatives to what the world is about. Detach from that. No. We're not living in false realities anymore. We're not doing that. And they're alternative to organic reality, meaning we live and work with our hands and we like interpersonal face-to-face relationships and reconnect in community. Present biblical holy culture and rule of Christ over a truth-based kingdom, a Bible-oriented kingdom. Not a money-based kingdom, not a money-based Christianity. Truth-based kingdom disciples living out the gospel, and do it. Engender repentance, trans thought, and transformation, change life to the kingdom. These are, okay, please. Embrace and establish a biblical kingdom heritage identity. Once again, restore it. But for those that have lost it, it's got to be injected. People like me. I've got to learn, what is the heritage of this kingdom culture I'm being grafted into? I'm getting it. I got bit by bit, and I've read a stack of books now. I'm getting there. But your heritage is becoming my heritage. You got it? I'm dropping my heritage. I tell about it, I use it, but it's my old heritage. I've got the new heritage. Goes back. It doesn't go back to the War of 1812. It goes back to the 1500s, which goes back to Christ. Your men need this. Your young men need it badly, or they'll wander. They will wander. Present messages about the eternal kingdom, about eternal kingdom value, purpose, concerning sexuality, reproduction, violence, honesty, property. I have a whole list, actually, I could go through on this. It's all just a list of things that need to be addressed in discipleship. When you're discipling somebody, there's things that you have to hit that they've been enculturated from out there, and you've got to now knock them. You have to go after each one of them and help them repent and transform according to that. I mean, it's a list. It's not here. It touches some of them. The drivers, biblical mandates, prayer, obedience, the Holy Spirit, vision for the kingdom. What's your vision for the kingdom? How strong is your vision for the kingdom? The kingdom now. The kingdom now. They don't get that. Kingdom now. Vision for the kingdom. I put there the good, the true, and the beautiful. That's the philosophical terms they use for it. That's what man really looks for. The good, the true, and the beautiful. You know what? That's the kingdom. That's what that Crusaders hymn is about. Fair Lord Jesus, we have it. We don't have it perfectly, but we have it. We're getting there. What areas? Okay, let's get into application for a few minutes here. Now, some people go, okay, well, I know people want to give me what to do. Well, what to do? I'm going to give you guidance on what you and your congregations need to decide on this stuff. Okay? It's for you to decide in the structures. I'm so appreciative of the structure teaching yesterday morning. I'm telling you, I was going exactly, I was like so excited to see that. And that a brother used Ananias and Sapphira, their death pointed to that was a really good point. That was a congregational decision that had authority. And you're going to go back and do these things. Applications in the realm of self, family, congregation, and newcomers. This is where you've got to look at. Of course, for yourself, what are your standards right now for yourself with media? Do you have them? I am not going to do this. You know what? I have freedom to do this, but I'm not doing that. I have freedom to do it? Nope. I was without any authority over me for many years. In an Anabaptist sense, because I wasn't an Anabaptist. I came in, and then for years I didn't really have a men speaking into my life or ordering. But I know one thing. I know what that's going to do to me. I know what talk radio is going to do to me. I know I'm going to become like the speaker on the radio. I'm going to become like him. I know how my mind works now. I know how communication changes me. I'm not doing that. That's my rule. And then on a daily basis, I write my to-dos in the morning. And you know what else I write? My to-don'ts. I write to myself my to-don'ts. No surfing the web. You can shop. I know you need to get that piece. That's it. I speak it to myself. I write it down. Daily basis. Start with who? You know, we're supposed to make... Go make what? Disciples. Guess who you're supposed to start with? You. You've got this person that God gave you, yourself. Make a disciple out of him. Make a disciple out of him. Just start with yourself. Make a disciple. There you go. And then you can work on other people at the same time. Your family, of course, congregation, and newcomers. Newcomers. What's your plan for newcomers? How are you going to take newcomers who are coming out of this mess out here with all of this? What do you do with them? You know, I spoke at a church. And I recounted this with someone this morning, and it reminded me of it. I went and spoke at a church in my early days of speaking to churches, and I gave this talk, and I spoke on Thursday and Friday, and then Friday night I was out late, you know. Mennonites or what is it? Mennoniters, you know, talking, and I came back and he said, "Oh, this lady keeps calling up. She wants to come see you." I said, "Talk to you." Okay, well, we'll call her first. You're supposed to call her 7 in the morning. She wants to come over and talk. Okay. And this girl came in. She was coming from the outside. She was that. Came in her cape dress, in her head covering, sat down. We talked for a few hours. And she said, "You nailed it. That's me. It's me you're talking about. And I'm totally addicted to music. I am addicted to it. And it's why I'm not having a relationship with them. I got it. It's right. And I don't know what to do." And I told the pastor it. I said, "Hey, what are you going to do? We got to do something." She used to call me at home. "Well, what's going on? How's the church?" She called me. "Yeah, well, some guy wants to date me now." "Who are you talking to about this?" "Well, you. This guy's not a believer. You can't do that." "What's the church doing?" "Nothing. Nothing." So she left. He swept her away. Took her away. Do you want that on your record? She sought the church. Went to the church, submitted as far as she knew how, had a problem. They didn't like it because they'd see her with headphones on. They'd see her with headphones. She said they'd see her sometimes. They'd catch her with headphones on. Little things, you know, the buds. She was so addicted to Christian music, but totally addicted to music. What happens if she shows up at your church next week? What are you going to do? Okay. What is media good for? Let's go through quick. What is media good for? What is it? When we talk about electronic communication, and I'm speaking big picture now, but what is it good for? Well, some of it, electronic media, not entertainment media, the digital communication media, whether it's talking or texting or what is it? It's good for stuff. It's really good for some stuff. Really good. And you should take advantage of it. You should take advantage of it. It's good for information. Very good for information. For informing someone, for something you have, a body, a text of them, or something I can email to my congregation and I can inform people. If someone asks, what about this? I can inform them. Very good. Very good for information. For coordination. Fantastic for coordination. Sending, texting, I'm late. Not while you're driving. Texting, coordinating a meeting, men. Or there's, I don't know, the barn burned down. Everybody, tomorrow morning out there. Coordination, fantastic. Even there was a robbery and the car is headed to your house. Get out of the house. Yes, yes, great. Yes. Record keeping, fantastic. For record keeping, keeping information in orderly order, fantastic. Research. What a strength we have. We can look up things. As long as you can stay away from all the noise that wants to come in and distract you. Mass distribution. Mass distribution. Whether it's for economic reasons or for spiritual reasons, mass distribution. Yes, these are strengths. It saves time. Increases efficiency, improves accuracy, and enables expansion. Should we do those things? Generally, yes. Yes. Abuse them? No. Look at them? Yes. What is it not good for? Relationships. It's bad. I can't say completely bad. I don't mean it's not as good. Let's put it that way. In some cases, it is bad. Some cases, it's very bad. It's not the tool for relationships. Information which is passed for relational purposes gets misinterpreted. Anybody here? Is there anybody here who has not had that problem? It's terrible. In this area, you send information, you can't read the person's face. It's called the relational cues. 3/4 of the relational cues, that's what they're called, are cut out. They're not there. Only 1/4 of the information gets through. And then, who knows, it's in the eyes of the beholder who reads it and interprets it wrong. And then all of a sudden, sometimes you can't even correct it when you fully intended something good and they read it wrong. And no matter what you do, you can't fix it. There's those situations. Not for relationship. Hold it back. Personal application for me? Okay, I'm a newlywed. I'm away from my wife. Do you know? I absolutely avoid talking to my wife when I'm gone. Crazy, huh? Oh, it makes seeing her good. When I'm back, oh, I want to tell her face to face. And she asks me, she wants to see my face when I'm telling her. And then, you know, Saturday morning, not much is going to get done. Because I want to sit with my wife and just sit and talk with her for hours. I could just sit and talk with her for hours. But I could tell her everything now, couldn't I? I could call her after the meeting. Yeah, the meeting went well. Yeah, we went here. I could explain everything. I get home. You know what I did? You ever heard this term from your mother? Don't ruin your dinner. What does that mean? Eat something before the meal. You ruined your appetite. No, I choose to make myself hungry for my wife. I choose. It's one of my little disciplines. is when I'm away from my wife, let's be away from my wife. In fact, I'm not with my wife. Makes the heart get in control of yourself. I'm trying to be in control of myself. I want, when I get home, her husband to be looking forward to seeing her. That's just a little application illustration, and I do it. She's already said, she wants me to call her on something, and I'm going, do I really need to call her? I don't need to. I'm not going to. She's probably, well, yeah. No, she knows now that I prefer the face-to-face. The second, this media is not good for development. It's not good for the developing of people as much as human interaction or print. Okay? Electronic media, although it has its fantastic advantages that I talked about, which I agree using, yet doesn't have the same ability to develop your mind and your desires that reality has. That real reading, deep reading. One of the concepts, which wasn't part of my talk tonight or today, is the loss of deep reading in culture out there. And the people are aware of it. The people are now not able to go deep and read heavy, deep conceptual books anymore. They can't because they've been trained by the text and the email to be shallow. They've been trained. It has trained them to a shallowness. Okay? So, you want to be a deep thinker for the kingdom of God, read and read deep and read a lot. Okay. I already explained enough why the dangers. What do we do then? A funny age now, with regard to this media business, rules, do they work anymore? Yes, for a little while. Why? Everything's changing. No television? No radio? Why? Because media morphed right around it. Went right around your rule. And the people went right around too. You put a rule up, and either the media is going to go around, or the people are going to go around. Right around the rule. It's going to happen. Right? Do you know what I'm talking about? We can't be rule-based. We have to be principle-based. What is the principle we're aiming at? It's not that we just decided we hate televisions. We just hate television, so don't have that demon-possessed television in the house. That was not the original. Am I right? It was being enculturated into the world. I think, yes. That was the principle. The application was the television. Times changed. People changed. It morphed around, and your people got around it. I had one young man who couldn't wait to tell me. I've told some of you when I was speaking one time, he couldn't wait. He kept calling me. Finally, he wanted to sit down, and it was like pouring out of his heart, a confession to me. He was running his father's farm, and he got the smartphone. Smartphones came out. He got it, found out, television shows, and he went through, this is a pretty amazing man, actually. Every break, he was in the barn, and his breaks were television shows. He's watching all the cop movies. He had a whole, he made a copy of it for me. He had a list of all the television shows, and he was checking them off by series as he's going through them, one by one, going through these. Nobody knew except for him. He got it, went right around the room. They weren't allowed, but went right around. He woke up and realized what he was doing, and he stopped. But it was amazing to see. He just found his way right around it all. Easy. And you put a new rule up, they're going to find their way around. I'm not trying to attack the people. They're human nature, right? Human nature. Love them, and they're loving you, and they're trying to do the right thing, but sometimes that human nature does things. But the principle, for me, a principle, I would give a principle, no entertainment. If you're going to grab a big no, N-O, that's more of a principle. That I'm using this device to entertain myself instead of using fellowship to satisfy my relational needs. I'm using entertainment to satisfy my relational needs instead of worship to meet my relational needs. Because now it's doing something. It's, okay, well, let's stay away. No. Sometimes you get forced into entertaining stuff. If work makes you watch this video for safety, so you know the safety rules of whatever you're doing. Yeah, okay. But that's not my desire to go watch an entertaining video about safety of this, because they all, this thing has entered every realm now, even safety films. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, they have to be entertaining, or else everybody falls asleep and doesn't watch it. That's my page. Again, when looking at the devices that are out there now, the communication systems that are out there now, the input that's coming in to your people now, to you and to your people now, keep this in mind. And you have to do your homework on some of it. Is a Christian message, to listen to a Christian message on a DVD, good or bad? Depends. Yes? Does it not? Who is it? What's their background? Now, I know for the immature-ish, and I don't mean derogatorily immature. I don't mean that. Sometimes they don't understand why I can't have this. It's spiritual, isn't it? Why can't I? You have to step in a place that it's vulnerable now. You're vulnerable to this. No, we just ask you not to listen to that. This type of message, we ask you to not. Or if you want to, we would like some sort of accountability with you so that when you watch it and you have questions, you ask somebody, or they're with you. We don't want unrestrained input from this agent here. One of the most dangerous to the Anabaptists is this one now. But no question. It may be the most dangerous. And the men need to know that and face that and creatively figure out ways to do it with your congregation. Explain to them this. Because this uses this. And they're really good at this. At getting you to like it, even though I don't know why I like it. Disciplines, structures. This is before this weekend. This is from before. What are the disciplines that you're advocating for the discipline of deciding in the morning what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do with regard to this? The structures, the rules, the sanctions, what is the punishment? What do you do if someone does it? Okay. I have many restatements of all the things we've gone through yesterday and today, so I'm not going to do that. But here's a question. Knowing, although I didn't go into detail, you're going to hear some of the things that media does push us towards becoming. What will we be? Will we be individualistic? This thing pushes, it parades the individualistic, the concept of individualism, even though it doesn't provide individualism. It parades individualism but doesn't provide it, because the people that are hooked into the system are completely dependent on the system. They don't know it. Everything they believe and think they're individualistic about are things that have been provided by the system. They're not really individualistic. They're dependent on the system. But it comes into us when I've got to be part of a group and let go of some of my rights. That they've been trained. No, don't do that. Even though you're dependent on us. Are we individualistic, independent, media dependent, self-indulgent, unrestrained, consumerist? This is what they push. This is what they want. To be this individualistic, independent, media-dependent, self-indulgent, unrestrained, meaning throw off restraints, throw off laws, consumerist. We should be living to buy things in that whole realm, money-oriented. Or a Christ-dependent. So I have a parallel here. Sacrificial burden-bearing. Sacrificial burden-bearing community of kingdom-oriented, prophetic, priestly, I used to say agapeist, sort of made that up, agapeist. That's my purpose. Is that agape love? That's my, but I say agape-oriented disciples. Because this is pointing one direction, and we have to be committed to that other direction. Okay. I was working on a stand. And I'll finish on this. I was working on a stand. It's not complete. Our stand. We do not belong to popular entertainment culture. We don't belong to them. We take our guidance from God and from godly people, not politicians, mass media, entertainment, market economics, advertisers, elevated preachers, educators, or anyone who has not been under, or anybody, anyone who has been under their influence. I don't take it. Thus, we avoid direct influence, but work with those who are damaged by popular culture and media and under their spell. That's who we got to work with. That young lady, we got to work with them. They're under a spell. We resist influence and assimilation. We reject the world view of the globalist worldview program and the values they instill. I'm not finished on that, but what is our stand? Could I have something on this? I add one last thing. I talked a little bit about globalism, and I'm not going to go into it now too much. But globalism is that these all have institutions, and the institutions are now not only influentially converging, but there's connection and there's movement in each one of these types of institutions together now. There's actually people funding and trying to influence them towards a globalism, which I've been describing. This worldview. It's the world. Okay, that's what's going on, and it's really taking more definite shape in the last couple of years. And I don't have a a well-defined explanation of it other than that. But that's the other thing that's getting in and has influenced you. It comes with all of the influence that these bring in. Okay? All right. I'm well over time here. I'd open up to questions, a few questions, and then we can close. What do you think?